Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. With me, as always, is some of my very favorite people on planet Earth and some of my best friends since I was a little kid. Tommy, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing okay, and I am drinking some Duncan Taylor Scotch because it was on my desk.
Ah, it sounds delicious. Mikey, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing well, and I'm drinking an A&W root beer.
Delicious. So we go doing some work or picking up some of the kids later, or just feel like a nice root beer?
Felt like a root beer.
I like that root beer. It's a good root beer. Josh, how about you? What are you drinking tonight, my friend?
Tonight, I have a Founder's Dirty Bastard.
Dirty Bastard.
It's a nice dark scotch ale from Middle America. Founders does a great job. Nice. It's a good beer.
Nice. I'm drinking coconut water with double proofed rum in it, which I got a coronation as a gift from a friend of mine, Malik, and it is delicious. And I like coconut water and rum. It's a very fresh and refreshing drink, very much from the tiki side of things. And I'm trying to come up with a way. Oh, by the way, you said you were drinking a Dirty Bastard, right?
I am.
Yeah. Speaking of Dirty Bastards, God damn Ra's al Ghul. You dirty motherfucker.
Certainly produced a Dirty Bastard.
I was going to say, that's what I was getting over to there. So Ra's al Ghul, one of Batman's super, super villains. Huge in the comic books, huge in one movie, and huge in the cartoon. I know him best from the cartoon. I've also seen the movie. I've read some of the comics. Mike, you want to give us a little background on Ra's al Ghul?
Sure. Back in 1972, Julie Schwartz goes over to Denny O'Neill and Neil Adams and is like, I got the next supervillain for Batman. Ra's al Ghul. It's Arabic for the demon head. I don't know what he's going to look like, what his powers are. You guys figure that shit out. So Denny O'Neill wanted to have Batman be the great detective. He was turning Batman darker, back more towards his original roots. It was like, well, if I'm going to make him a great detective, I need a Moriarty for his Holmes, right? So I need somebody who's super smart, who's in charge of a very evil organization that is on the same level as Batman. How can he be on the same level? By being around a lot longer and having all that experience over Batman to in plenty of time, because he is not immortal, but he's over 500 years old, and he is constantly revived by Lazarus Pits. So even though Ra's does not have any superpowers, kind of does, as long as they know where there's a Lazarus Pit, he's immortal. He also is in charge of the League of Assassins, so he is a very comparable hand-to-hand combatant. He's a diabolical genius. He's also lived so long that he realizes that humans are a threat to the planet at their current state, and that's why he is kind of like Poison Ivy, and he's an eco-terrorist, where he's like, yeah, humans are polluting all this stuff and ruining the Earth. We should just get rid of a lot of the humans. So he's been in Batman comics for quite a while. Some of his progeny are maybe even more famous than him. Talia al Ghul, his daughter, who eventually becomes the mother. He's the grandfather to Damian Wayne, the son of the Bat, the current Robin, and probably future Batman. So yeah, he's also got a bunch of other children from many other marriages.
500 years, how careful can you be?
Yeah.
I mean, show you my Lazarus Pit if you show me yours.
Yeah, if I was going to recommend a comic, I would recommend the Son of the Demon, where Ra's is and gets Batman, kidnaps him, and has his daughter have sex with him because he wants the detective to be his son-in-law, to take over his mantle.
Because he feels... It's rape. Well, let's say rape.
Yeah, well, yeah. But
It's a chemically induced rape.
Yeah, but he wants his seed. That's definite. But he would prefer Batman to just take over his organization because he views Batman as his equal.
Yes.
And even in his first appearance, that's always been kind of Ra's goal, right? He creates an elaborate scheme to test out Batman's, mettle just to see if he's worthy of his daughter's hand by kidnapping Robin, bringing him up into the Himalayan mountains, claiming that his daughter was kidnapped and asking the detective for help in capturing this mutual kidnapper that has kidnapped his daughter and Robin. And creating this elaborate ruse. What?
I was just wondering, do you think he at some point encountered Etrigan?
Etrigan's some point? Driving demon? Of course, yes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's canon, but, I mean, they've both been around for so long, I can't imagine. Well, Ra's al Ghul has always been very secretive, but in my mind, it's hard to imagine a universe where they didn't bump once or twice. Why, Mike?
Well, because he had an organization called the Demon. That's where he got his name, the Demon's Hand. I was just wondering if he was inspired. See, that would be a great story to write, where a young Ra's al Ghul encounters Etrigan and is like,
ooh, and Etrigan's actually responsible for all kind of weirdly tangentially?
Yeah.
Ooh, you start finding all of the League of Assassin sort of codes and edicts are in rhyme.
Ooh. Yeah, I'd watch that.
I'd read that.
Fuck that. I'd write that.
Yeah.
Fanfic. That shit.
Yeah, it comes on TV right after Fufo the Abducted Boy.
Oh. Somebody gotta help me.
It's Pinky.
Pinky adopted the Abducted Boy. Sorry. But that was what somebody was talking about on our other podcast. anyone else?
My Bindle.
Yeah. Anyone else? Oh, how about have Vandal Savage and Ra's butted heads?
I mean, they've had 500 years. Once again, it's another thing where they've had 500 years to bump into each other. You would think they would have. I can't really think of anything specific. But.
Yeah.
But think.
We can do a little research on that one. But Vandal all those long-lived villains.
Yeah.
Probably bump heads once or twice.
The thing I've always liked about Ra's is.
The beard.
Well, I mean, clearly. The guy rocks some serious facial hair. Awesome.
He changes it up. Sometimes he's just getting
Wisps. Yeah. He's got the two things. He's got the Fu Manchu. He's always rocking something nice, though, which I feel like I try. But mostly when my facial hair changes, it's because I'm shaving and I screwed up, and then I have to do something about it. And I'm like, I guess I got to do this. And I feel like 500 years.
The third best mutton chops on the planet at one point.
Guinness
came over, and they're like, you're so close, kid.
I like the idea. The Lazarus Pit thing is a nice sort of canonical excuse for letting him go throughout time. Clearly, in the movies, we see that they ignore the Lazarus Pits and they just pronounce the next person Ra's al Ghul. They don't deal with immortality there. They deal with the obfuscation of who's actually the leader of the League of Assassins. But I do like the idea that they're out there, both in comic canon and in film. They're out there trying to topple governments or refresh the blood. It's sort of a global patriotism out there. And they do a good job of making it a an almost believable reason for an organization like that to exist, which is nice.
Yeah, I do really like the Ra's al Ghul of the Batman Cinematic Universe.
You just like
Liam Neeson? Yeah, I thought Liam Neeson, I thought, did an excellent job.
With the facial hair. I mean, he killed it. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. He had some, it was rocking.
Yeah, so do you guys got a favorite storyline other than Son of the Demon? Or Son of the Bat, excuse me?
I think for me, I really enjoyed him in the cartoons. He had a good presence. He had a good look. He was kind of different and spooky and creepy. I liked Talia whenever she came on. She was attractive and fun. And you were never really sure if she was really on her dad's side or was she trying to break away or was she on Batman's side. I think we know now. But there was an air of mystery about that relationship that was kind of fun to play with. I enjoyed the cartoon most, I would say. And the movie was okay. I like the movie. I mean, nothing bad. I like Liam Neeson. But if I had to say my favorite run would be that the Batman cartoon.
So some other series you might want to check out if you're interested in reading about them. Justice League's Tower of Babel. Batman has files on all the Justice League heroes and how to defeat them. And Ra's steals those files. And the Justice League find out how the files came to be, and they are not happy with Batman whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
You had blueprints on how to beat us, and the bad guys now have these blueprints. Yeah. Also, the Death of the Maidens is really good. It's one of his other daughters, not Talia. I think it might be Nyssa, he abandons during World War II in a Nazi death camp. He just leaves her there so he can escape. And she then spends the next number of years plotting revenge on Ra's. That's a good series too. It's a limited series, only 12 issues.
What's that called again?
Death in the Maidens.
Getting back to the one where Batman had all those files, the last page of 90% of those files said throw into the sun.
Except for Superman. I think Firestorm could survive that too.
I said 90%.
Martian Manhunter could not.
Could not. He's smart.
He would not like that.
Throw
that
guy into a conventional oven, and that's that.
Wait, what's it called?
One good campfire.
I see Death of the Family.
Death
of the Family is a Batman story.
Death of the Maidens. Death of the Family is the...
Death and the Maidens.
Isn't that the one where we voted to kill Robin?
Yeah.
Death of the Family.
I see it. I got it.
Okay.
Man, we were must. I just want that. Someone's going to do a Stanford experiment on that one. Why did we kill Robin? We got to really take this apart.
It was Jason Todd.
It was Jason Todd.
Jason Todd, by the way, has a lot of connections with Ra's al Ghul because Talia is the one who used the Lazarus Pit to bring him back as the Red Hood.
So he's a
very key part of all of the Batman universes.
Good to know. Any last words on Ra's al Ghul?
I'm just going to say all this talk of the sons, especially Red Hood, and it just makes me mourn for the potential of the Titans TV show. I just want to let one tear show for that show. Like, I had high hopes. I continued to watch it well past its watch date.
You lasted longer than I did. And I watched every season of Gotham. Fuck you, Tom.
I had high hopes for Hawk and
Dove. I feel
Dove
a little better,
characters.
Mike. Thanks for that.
I watched a year and a half of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fuck you guys.
Oh, and I watched all of S.H.I.E.L.D. because you said you got to just stick with it.
I didn't mean to.
That was categorically not true. I watched like 7 episodes. Shit, I'm like, I'm not fucking sticking with this.
Episode 4 is when it hit its peak.
Well, I watched its peak and I watched its end. But yeah, I really.
And apparently, really, Mike watched way past that.
Really wanted Titans to be okay, and it just never was.
We all did.
I mean, I watched that thing till it died. I watched everything. I watched every episode of that.
Good on you.
Did you watch season 3?
I watched every episode.
Holy shit. I'm a Titans fan, and I couldn't get out of season 2. I was like, oh, I'm out.
No, I just kept hoping. I was like, man, they're going to turn this thing around. They're going to turn this ship around. Like, the guy who wrote Young Justice should have just taken over that show.
Yeah.
And I just kept hoping for the best, and it just fell so short on
it was just
well,
so
on everything. It tried to get to where I wanted it to be 100 times, and it failed every time. But every time I saw something, I was like, maybe it's gonna get there, and it just never did. And I just mourn for that show. Like, I really. And because I know now that they did it, they can't do it again. Right?
Like, the first 5 minutes is awesome.
I mean, they can, but it's going to be so long. The opening couple episodes are actually like, you're like, oh, this is, I might be in on this.
And then the weirdness with Starfire happened.
And they just couldn't get it right. They just kept missing everything with just jagged slashes through everything and disappointments, and whew, it was a tough one. It was a tough ride. Like, but I was like, I'm gonna try and stick with it.
Stay with your last sex tape too.
Yeah.
It was a tough ride, but I'm gonna try to stick with it too.
Stick with it.
I think that'll bring us to the front of the line box, Mikey.
Yeah, go there. Yeah. Carry on. Yeah, get at me. Get me out of here, Mike.
From the long box today, we have some Captain America trivia.
Oh, ooh, nice. Let's go. Trivia.
All right. Josh, we're going to start with you.
Woohoo.
As always, if you get it wrong, I will go to the next person until all 3 of you get it wrong, and then I will tell you the correct answer. If you're playing along at home, please keep score, because we sure as shit don't. Yeah. All right. Josh, question number 1. Captain America made his first appearance in what comic book?
I can see
the cover.
See the cover. I don't know.
Think I know.
Tom?
You can do LG first. I'll go next. I think it was called All American Comics. Oh no. Sorry.
Is this it, the Invaders, Mike?
No.
No.
Star Spangled Comics?
No, it was Captain America.
Captain America, number 1. Okay.
He decks Hitler on the cover.
I know.
Yeah, I know he decks Hitler on the cover.
We can all see the cover.
I didn't know if it was part of the Invaders or if it was his own book at that point.
Back to you, Josh.
Sure.
Who created Captain America?
Super good question, Mike. I'm sure someone will know. That's not me.
That's a great question. It's a great looking question.
I mean, it seems like something I should know.
Stan Lee?
Nope.
That was before him. All right. I don't know.
Tom, LT?
He already waved it out.
Somebody back in the 40s, Mike.
Joe Simon and Jack Kirby.
Yeah, I was going to say Jack Kirby. God damn it.
The first Captain America, what was his secret identity, Josh?
The first Captain America, what was his secret identity?
You got this, buddy.
There have been many people who have had the mantle of Captain America, but the first one.
Yeah, I can't think right now. Hold on.
Don't overthink it.
Don't overthink it.
No,
just say Chris Evans.
What?
Surprisingly, John Cena.
Don't start me on Peacemaker. He's amazing. Why can't my brain think of this?
It's Tom's turn.
Steve Rogers.
Tom for the steal. All right, Tom. Another question for you. Who was Captain America's sidekick during World War II?
Bucky Barnes.
All right.
Just Bucky, I suppose.
Sure. Tom, what team of superheroes discovered Captain America's body frozen in a block of ice in 1964?
That's still me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Avengers.
Yep. You go until you get one wrong, man. You're on fire. You are in fuego.
Guys on fire.
For a brief period during the 1970s, disillusioned by politics, Captain America changed his name to what?
Nomad.
Yes. What was the original shape of Captain America's shield, Tom?
It was the kite shield. Thank you.
Bad shaped.
What was that?
It was bad shaped. It was shaped like a badge.
I did this thing.
You did the thing. Yeah.
What villain did Captain America and Bucky fight in the very first issue of Captain America comics?
Well, they punched Hitler in the face.
What supervillain?
All right. Well, I'm going to go with Red Skull there.
You are, again, amazing, dude. When Bucky was wounded in combat, who became Captain America's new sidekick?
Jones, Rick Jones.
No.
That was a guess.
I will help you out.
Snapper Carter.
It was her secret identity was Betsy Ross, a former FBI agent.
Okay,
it's your turn.
Oh, damn it.
I mean, the only agent I can think of is Agent Carter. But I feel like that's wrong because she's British.
Over to you, Josh, Ross? For the steal.
Did you say Betsy Ross?
Betsy Ross was her name, a former FBI agent. This is still during World War II and Captain America 66.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Agent 10.
Tom for the steal.
Is it Miss America?
No.
Liberty Lady then?
Miss America was in D.C. It's Golden Girl.
Golden Girl, yeah.
All right. LT, this one's for you. Who played the title role in the 1979 TV movie Captain America?
Come, come on. Nobody can get that, man.
Some random blonde guy whose career was tanked after that movie?
Josh for the steal? I mean, you're not wrong, LT.
I have a name in my head for some reason. I hope it's not right.
He's been at cons we've been at.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure he has.
What year was that?
1979.
Was it the same guy who played Flash Gordon?
It was not.
Can you use his name in a sentence?
I don't know.
Was it Hunter, like Tab Hunter or something like that?
It was Reb Brown.
Reb Brown. Wow.
Brown. All right.
It's Reb Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, Reb Brown.
Yeah, I couldn't see a name like that being
an
actor that failed.
I love Brown McCann, though.
So Dick Purcell played Captain America in a 1944 movie, and then Chris Evans kind of made Captain America pretty damn popular.
A little bit.
America's ass, that's all I got to say. That was Captain America trivia.
And Tom, the second Captain America movie is the best Marvel action movie. Bar none.
It's a spy movie.
Yeah, of all the Marvel movies, that movie, The Winter Soldier, for me, is the best straight-up action movie. You could know nothing about any of those characters. That would still be the best action movie of all the movies. I honestly don't think there's a better Marvel bid out there.
Yeah, I can't think of one.
That goes right to the top for me too. So,
yeah. I mean, it's definitely top three of all the Marvel movies for me. It's one of the only movies I can rewatch. Like a lot. Like I'll watch that movie a lot.
A lot of pathos in there too. Yeah, but he killed my dad.
The fucking elevator scene? Come on.
Oh, who wants to get off before we start?
Before we start.
I would have told you, you know what?
You know, fucking, Crossbones, get your fucking ass off this elevator, man. You know.
Nobody went for the legs?
Nobody went for the legs.
Come on, man. It's 9 of us subduing a guy. 4 of us go for the legs.
I mean, somebody. But, just like, somebody. Everybody on that, like, I can't even imagine. Okay, first of all, Remlo, he just knows better. Like, I don't even, that scene
he sees
is
it.
It's not
he jumps out some planes
Remlo.
Without parachutes. Yeah. Why
would you fuck with that guy in an elevator? The answer is no. Remlo should have been like, no, we're not going with this plan. This plan, there's no fucking
we
way.
We need
like,
a lot of room and a lot of snipers.
A lot of guys. Like, that's it. There's no other way out of this.
Those big-ass beanbag rifle
like
things?
Yeah, 100 guys. Field? I need 100 guys in a warehouse. I can't do this with 6 guys in an elevator.
And you know what Captain America would have said? I see nothing but dead men.
Dead men. fucking Vader down.
No, Captain America would have said, I see nothing but knocked out men, because he doesn't kill.
An excellent point. And that brings us back over to you, brother.
World War II. He killed a lot of fucking Nazis.
He killed a lot of motherfuckers.
Actually, I was going to say the 1944 serial. Like, he had a gun.
Yeah.
Oddly, he had did he have like a Luger? For some reason?
Yeah.
Why did Captain America have a Luger?
Because it was the greatest token you could take. No, it was the greatest token you could take because it was only carried by officers in World War II. So, The two biggest things you could bring back from the war were Nazi youth knives and the Luger. Yeah.
Oh, bring back a samurai sword that was pretty big. Other side of the Pacific.
Other side. Yeah, I meant on the Eastern,
That was a big get. Those swords, even officer swords,
terribly made and not worth it, by the way. But
yeah, true. But the German officer swords and stuff were pretty cool.
Yeah, mostly, a lot of people look for, you can't even imagine the prices of Hitler Youth knives as relics. They are. The Youth knives,
Tommy, what do you got at the back of the, now that we're trying to get away from Hitler talk?
You know, I just want to bring it back to.
Vegetarian.
Another vegetarian. Tommy. What do you got at the back of the line box,
buddy? I just want to go back to Batman 232, Daughter of the Demon from 1971, where Ra's al Ghul was first introduced. You should go back and read that first introduction, because it really is a good comic written by Denny O'Neill and Neil Adams doing the artwork, where Ra's al Ghul is once again trying to fool the detective into thinking that Robin and his daughter have been kidnapped by the same people and that they should team up to find them. And Batman, being the detective, knows the deal.
Denny
O'Neill and Neil Adams pretty much saved Batman after the 1966 Batman TV series. Nobody took Batman seriously at all, and that's the team that really changed it around. Neil Adams' art was just phenomenal, and Denny O'Neill was a crime writer before he got on with writing comics, and so All his stuff was really good.
Yeah. And Neil Adams, you know, snuck his way onto Batman by doing the Outsiders, Batman and the Outsiders, before he could, you know, get onto the Batman books. But yeah, fantastic book. Go ahead and read it. Still holds up.
All right, great. Thank you very much. That brings us to Josh's tangent. Josh, got a tangent for us this week?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think of one.
Jojo Rabbit. Nazi.
You already...
Why wouldn't I have a tangent for us? That seems ridiculous that I wouldn't.
What relic would we take from a World War II?
It's not that. So, in the world of cryptozoology, there's a lot of critters out there. I mean, more than you might think. Like when you dial into really specific geographic zones, like, I mean, I saw one a map of France, just France, right? So France had like 140 like localized geographic crypto creatures.
Like from, the Jersey Devil and
Jersey Devil, right? Yeah, we get down to like stateside and someone
Mothman,
Puck Wedgies.
Mothman, sure, Puck Wedgies. Yeah, so local to us, right? Puck Wedgies, especially where I went to college, which is Bridgewater State, which is right next to a swamp called Huckamuck Swamp, which is really where the Puck Wedgie legend rose from. And if, of course, I wouldn't expect anyone to know what Puck Wedgie is. So Puck Wedgies are sort of like the evil sort of elvish incarnation of a will-o-wisp, right? Where they would lure people deeper and deeper into the swamp, and then they would fill them full of poison arrows and watch them die. What are you guys' favorite cryptids? What do you got for cryptids? I mean, I do love the Pukwudgie just because, I mean, it might as well have been my fucking college mascot.
That's how much I was around there. I think we've done this before.
Have we?
I think so, because I chose the Loch Ness Monster because of all the money that it's made fooling people into going to Loch Ness.
Yeah, when we all know that it's in a different loch.
Yeah. Hey, he's laughing his little monster ass off.
And so when we went to Scotland, we did we did one of the tours of Loch Ness. I think the thing that really disappointed me about Loch Ness is it's extremely long, right? It's extraordinarily deep, but not the deepest loch. But still, it's just a savage cut through the Scotland Highlands. It's like 450 feet deep. And I was like, so how's the fishing? The guy's like, it's terrible. I was like, what? He's like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of iron in the water that gives it this russet brown color. There's no shelf for them to breed, and it's all really deep. So fishing here is really bad. I'm like, you have like 120-mile long, 450-foot deep lake. You can't fish here? This is fucking tragic.
Yeah. That's worse than the potato famine.
You expect,
I would say that to his face.
Yeah.
You expect a large animal to live here?
Because you're in Scotland,
there's
fine.
Nothing for it to feed on?
That's right, yeah. What does it eat? Yeah,
what does it
nothing.
Eat?
There are no fucking fish here. Yeah, it is really, as far as living creatures are concerned, a desolate lake, which is disappointing, but it's beautiful country. Go get on a boat there, see the castles, see all the lore, and there are a bunch of Highland cows. There's a great ice cream shop there. Go do all that stuff and support Scotland tourism because it's beautiful and amazing. But don't fish there because the fucking fishing sucks.
All right. Well, I have a local one for Palmer, Massachusetts. Oh. I don't know if you guys even remember this, but there was the legend of Big Tim the Snapping Turtle. Do you guys remember that as kids? It might have been before your time. I'm a little bit older than you guys. But we had like a local cryptid called
Lake
Big Tim.
Lake Thompson?
What was that?
Lake Thompson?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was a giant snapping turtle that, you know, it was like as big as a car. And people would like look for it all the time. And
okay,
it would
so
be,
that's the lake my dad lived on.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lake Thompson.
Yeah. But he was spotted in other places, too, because they said that there were, like, underground rivers and shit that he could go through. So sometimes he was spotted in the Connecticut River, usually Lake Thompson, but all over the place.
That'd be surprising, because Lake Thompson was not a natural lake.
Once again, local legends.
The guy who owned Lake Thompson, the guy who created Lake Thompson, was a guy who wanted a lake, and he actually blew up that entire body of land with dynamite and diverted a river into there to make Lake Thompson.
What year?
That was in the 50s. And then he passed away in the early 70s, and the property around the edge started getting sold, and they made a lake association, and my dad bought that house in the probably the early late 90s, early 2000s.
Oh, I was still around. Early 90s.
No. Mid-90s? Not early. No, you're thinking Beaver Lake and Ware.
I'm thinking Beaver Lake and Ware, yeah.
Yep. No, he had the old fishing hut, the blue cabin.
Yeah, and then the nice house,
which he bought from a patient of his, and then that burnt to the ground, and then they built the octagonal house there, designed by my cousin Kenny.
Neat. So yeah, Big Tim, a giant snapping turtle who could easily snap off a leg. That's my.
I remember the giant snapping turtle they pulled out of a water trap at Valhalla, which ended up at the. The nature preserve in, is it Hamden?
Laughing Brook?
Yeah, that was
Laughing
a big...
Yeah, where's Laughing Brook? Is it Hamden?
Yeah, it might have been Hamden.
Yeah.
Do you remember how big that sucker was? Because I remember that at the time.
He was big. He was about 65 pounds. Yeah. And he lived for another 25 years at the nature preserve at Laughing Brook. Hamden, Mass, right?
The big-ass turtle.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a big-ass turtle.
Mike, how about you? I don't think I heard your tale yet.
I think I go with the Rougarou down in Louisiana.
The Rougarou? I'm not sure if I know
this. I don't know that one.
It is a werewolf-type creature.
Oh, Loup-garou.
No, Rougarou.
Rougarou. I've always heard these called Loup-garou.
Well, that's just the French for werewolf, but...
Oh. So, I'm sorry, yeah. Go on. Rougarou.
Yeah, that's it. You got it.
Just a cool werewolf.
Yeah.
I like werewolves. All right, cool.
Although I do want to say I went with my daughters to see a movie this weekend called Imaginary, which, ooh. Tom, you cannot see it.
I don't think I should see it.
It's about a young girl who moves into her stepmom's house from their childhood, and she finds a stuffed bear named Chauncey who becomes her imaginary friend.
Yeah, Tom, you can't go see that.
Yeah, I've already known all of this. I'm like, yeah. I gotta avoid this movie like plague. Yeah.
Is this written by somebody that listens to our podcast?
Could have been. Buckets.
Could have been. I, you know what I was disappointed in? And I told the girls this after seeing it. So if you are going to see Imaginary, please skip forward 2 minutes on the podcast. But the girls thought it would have been a better way to do it. Chauncey, she was saying that Chauncey was there to protect her. It would have been better if Chauncey, if they had tricked the audience into believing that Chauncey was the bad guy. And then revealed that there was another bad guy, the stepmom's imaginary friend, who was actually the one doing all the evil stuff, and Chauncey was really trying to protect the little girl. That would have, and then you could have had a fight. You could have had a fight between the monster and the teddy bear protecting the kid. It would have been a lot better than the way they did it.
We've never finished the teddy bear campaign game, right?
No.
What's that called?
Fables. Stuff fables.
Stuff fables.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's another one.
Yeah, I got triggered 3 times. I called it quit. Sorry.
I know you guys aren't, well, Tom, you're a little bit, but LT and Mike, not so much. Video gamers. Helldivers 2?
It's everywhere, man. Everyone loves this game.
And I bought it. And I have to say, the. Like socio-fascist, like completely, it's very, they did the same treatment to Starship Troopers as they did to video games for this game. and the dichotomy between what people think it means versus what it actually is. The inability for people to perceive sarcasm in this is fucking horrifying.
They make some good points in Helldivers, is what I'm saying to you, Josh.
They make some good
points.
Wait, are you telling me the Homelander's a bad guy?
Yes. And I've played a couple of missions, and it's a very entertaining game.
It's entertaining. I'm just stuck on Skull and Bones right now. I just can't get off of it. It's too much fun.
It's so
a little pirate ship around, shoot my cannons.
It's awful. It's awful.
On a tangent on your tangent, the one thing I really liked on Starship Troopers, and I didn't get how bad it was until much later, is that only veterans can vote. I always liked that idea in theory.
Honestly, of all the far off sort of fascist ideals,
in Starship Troopers.
In Starship, sure. The idea that only people who committed to social service can vote is not an abhorrent idea to me. It didn't have to be military service, but if there was a similar civil social service that dealt with the problems of the country for, let's say, a period of 2 years prior or post college. In order to obtain the right to vote, I honestly am not against that idea.
It's kind of privileged, though.
What's that?
It's kind of privileged.
Honestly, it's the idea of it's the opposite of privilege for me, where privilege.
Yeah, you got to be able to not have to go straight to work to be able to commit to 2 years.
No, but I mean, in the same way that the military.
Yeah.
Keeps people afloat. I honestly think in some ways that would skew voting towards people who actually needed to do that rather than the people who could, let's say, avoid that service because of bone spurs.
Yeah.
Bone spurs.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a wishbone.
I think bone spurs would be a plus. You could like cut somebody with them.
Yeah. It's like,
Trump,
like a fighting chicken.
Assets. Yeah. What was that guy's fighting name? Fighting Cock?
Yeah.
Gamecock.
Gamecock. Thank you.
Yeah. What was that guy who had no arms and just used to fight with his feet?
Armless Tiger Man.
Armless Tiger Man.
How can you forget Armless Tiger Man?
Yeah.
But those weren't bone spurs. Oh, they might have been bone spurs. We don't know. We didn't do an autopsy. LT, thank you for giving me a new route to my PhD.
See,
wow.
The autopsy of Armless Tiger Man, they were bone spurs all along. Fuck you, Trump.
How about just villain autopsy? And we do like a serious medical examination of villain superpowers.
Like the guy who spits venom, is it in his mouth or is he
Cottonmouth. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanna open up Cottonmouth.
How that motherfucker works.
Yeah. I believe he also has either rubber or malleable bones because he can also fit through very tight spaces. And he can dislocate his jaw. Like, there's just one supervillain that came to mind.
Yeah.
Just one crazy supervillain.
Just one.
All right, but that will sort of bring us to the end of here. Do we have anything to plug? Have we put in for any other cons or anything?
Yeah.
I'd like to plug geekorthodox.com.
GeekOrthodox.com.
Hello,
Timmy. Hello, Timmy.
GeekOrthodox.com. Prepare.
You were ready for it.
Fine. Stained glass prints, Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses, you name it, they've got it at GeekOrthodox.com. If you want apparel, you still need to go to IanLino.com because they got so much stuff. They need two websites to keep it all.
Two websites, you don't say.
I do say two websites.
Yeah. Why not two websites?
Why not?
I don't think we have any cons coming up, but I do want to plug my band, Thar We Blow. It is my shanty punk rock / pirate rock / renaissance music group, comedy troupe. We're getting a few new members coming in. We have one member shuffling out. But we are still
getting bigger all the time.
I told Tommy the big news. One of the guys from Deep Purple wants in.
That's because he hasn't heard you yet.
Yeah, he hasn't heard us play yet. He's like,
most people haven't heard Deep Purple yet, so it's fucking even.
Smoke on the Water still gets a lot of radio play, but I can't remember the last time I wasn't on an oldie station that I like, that I heard it.
I mean, I love Deep Purple, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Name another song. I can't. I wish
Radioactive.
I could.
Radioactive.
Wait, there you go. Not bad. All right. Mike, anything to plug?
No, I was trying to find the name of the organization.
Kirby Crackle?
One of my buddies from New Orleans, he's retired and went over to the Philippines and did some human trafficking rescue work with his missionary group. But I could not find the name of it, so I apologize. I'll know it next week. Get to back to you.
You know, as long as we're saying about...
You don't want to plug Kirby Crackle Music?
I do want to plug Kirby Crackle, who provides our geek rock music every week. If you're wondering where the geek rock music is, shut up and you produce it then.
I'll always plug the Shadow Warrior Foundation and Special Operations Warrior Foundation. Those things do great kids for the kids of special operators. Go fucking support those people.
As long as we're on good things to do that are good deeds, I'm going to do two things. First off, if you have old luggage that you're going to thinking of donating to the Goodwill, instead of doing that, try to drop them off at your nearest foster care place. A lot of foster care kids move from house to house, and oftentimes all they have is a garbage bag. This is a big need, so dropping off any gently used or used luggage that can be cleaned up and refurbished for these kids is a huge boon for them.
I will do that.
Yeah, it's a good idea, right? I just found that today.
That's a good fucking idea. Yeah.
Damn right it is. And I also want to promote our Patreon page because we donate all the money to the Elizabeth Peabody House. Tommy, you run that joint, right?
I manage their food pantry program, but I don't run the whole thing. I just run the food pantry program where we fed over 200 families last week.
200 families.
Two bells? Is that a new record?
It's a new weekly record. I think so.
Weekly records? Yeah.
If you discount... Thanksgiving. I would say yes, it is a wet record.
Yeah.
And we're not happy that there are so many families in need. We're happy that they're feeding the families that are in need.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I'm in support of poverty, Mike. I kind of think it goes without saying.
No, it doesn't.
We're very happy to be able to help. Yeah. We're very happy to be able to help people in their hour of need. We're also very proud of the fact that we're able to help new families that are coming over. We had at least four or five new families, refugee families coming over. Haiti is a horrible, horrible mess right now. Still a lot of problems in the Ukraine. And we have plenty of people coming in from South America still. And it's really a joy of my life to be able to help people, give them a leg up and get them settled, situated, and a little bit of food in their belly and just trying to make them feel welcome.
Yeah.
So, Mikey, what's this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
Tommy, any words of wisdom for us?
Just follow the campsite rules. Try to leave the world a better place than you found it.
God damn right. And Josh, Mike's house this Saturday for game night. Is that your sector?
Yeah, and also I believe PAX East is coming up, so a bunch of my peeps should be in Boston.
That's Saturday, isn't it?
I think it is Saturday. So if you're coming in for PAX East, welcome to Boston. I hope you guys enjoy it. It's a beautiful convention for the digital medium, which is a fractional part of what we all love here. Enjoy the city and come see us. No, usually I find a worthy software development company and volunteer there. And in the past, I have always volunteered with Larian Studios, who created Divinity Sin, Divinity Original Sin. But they created Baldur's Gate 3, and they have outgrown me.
They have outgrown your services.
They have. They are probably one of the biggest vendors at the show this year. And have no need of my volunteer services. So I wish them best of luck. I have met, through my years of service there, I have met the CEO. He's a lovely human being who's always treated me well, especially his volunteers. I have met almost all of the primary developers because they were all the developers of Division Original Sin. And I say to you, support these people. They are great human beings. And I know there's some counterculture that does not enjoy Wizards of the Coast and D&D and D&D 5e for various reasons. And I say to you, these people licensed that property just for the rules and for the visuals, and they have nothing to do with it. So regardless of that, go play that game. Go see these people. Enjoy in what I really know is a group of developers who enjoy and love what they do and make amazingly beautiful, complex games with decision trees. If you see the fucking flowchart, your brain would fucking explode. Original Sin is 2 is great, so if you're loving BG3, go play DV2 and just enjoy these people, and welcome to Boston.
Welcome to Boston!
Yeah.
All right. And I guess that's it. Don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You'll live longer, I promise you. Goodbye from the Long Box, guys. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.